All right, to Psalm chapter number 20 tonight, and as I told you, one of the things that's always interesting about the Psalms, as you read them and as you study them, you know that there are Psalms that are written by a different group of people, so the Psalms of David. This particular Psalm, I believe it says at the beginning of the Psalm that this is a Psalm of David. And a lot of the Psalms, they are about the individual circumstances that David went through. This psalm in particular has to do with the nation of Israel. As you study the Old Testament, especially the history of the nation of Israel, one of the things that you recognize is that there were many wars for the nation of Israel. I mean, the kings were always going to battle. And so there was a series of events that went on. In reading something this week, in my daily Bible reading, when David sinned with Bathsheba, you remember it says there was a time when kings went out to war. And I never really knew what that meant. I mean, I kind of knew what it meant. I kind of knew that it meant that there was a time allotted that kings fought. Well, did a little bit of study as I was going through my daily Bible reading, and it says that during the winter months, the kings would plot their strategies about who they were going to attack. And there were always reasons for attack. Maybe someone had taken some of your land in days gone by, and you were going to go back and try to recoup that land. Or maybe there were some political issues that needed to be addressed. So there were always reasons for kings to go to battle. So they would plot those battles during the winter months, and then in the spring months was the time when the kings went out to fight. So knowing that there was a time allotted that kings would go out to battle, you know that they would often be faced with battle. You also know, and if you remember with Saul, when Saul's greatest disobedience was what he did before battle and how he failed before battle. You remember there was a sacrifice, there was an offering that was supposed to be made, and Saul was supposed to wait on the prophet to get there, and the prophet delayed his coming, and Saul went ahead and made that sacrifice beforehand, and when he was questioned about it, he was like, well, listen, the battle was pressing upon us, and the enemy was coming, and we were about ready to go into battle, and you weren't here at the allotted time, so I went ahead and made the sacrifice for myself. And that's where you hear the famous scripture, to obey is better than sacrifice. So you know that battle is something that the children of Israel were often faced with. Think about when they came out of Egypt. And really, it is when they're coming out of Egypt that God is dealing with them as a nation, as a whole, for the first time. Up to that point, you know, you're reading of Abraham, you're reading of Isaac, and you're reading of Jacob, and you read of Joseph. Really, Jacob, or Israel, the 12 sons of Israel, or become the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's only when they are in bondage in Egypt that God really begins to deal with them as a whole, as a nation. One of the first things you read about them as a nation is what? They're coming out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. Who's coming in hot pursuit after them? Pharaoh. What does God do? God fights the battle and defeats the army of Pharaoh. Very early, they come across the Red Sea. You see them facing other enemies. And let me read just out of this book. This is Phillips on Psalm 20. He says, when God emancipated Israel from Egyptian bondage, he led them straight into battle. He smashed for them the flower of the Egyptian army. He swept Amalek away before the edge of Joshua's sword. He made it clear that Canaan was to be theirs only as the prize of battle. The Canaan land was to be theirs only as the prize of battle. God told Israel he was using the edge of the sword as a surgeon uses a knife to clear out from the human race the great festering cancer of the Canaanites. The books of Judges, Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles tell of a nation constantly at war. David's, Israel's greatest king, was a warrior king. The great events in the histories of even the godly kings of Judah descended from David. Men like Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Josiah were all connected with war. And so we know that nation, as the Israel as a nation and Israel as a whole, would often face battle. And it was a national event for them. It wasn't, they all gathered together in this time. This psalm, Psalm 20, is the national song of prayer, of prayer as they prepared for battle. This psalm is the psalm that was sung as you were preparing for battle. The next psalm is the post-battle hymn. So get in your mind that when this psalm was sung, this was a psalm that they were preparing for battle. So keep that in your mind as you understand as we read this psalm. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in a day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call. Now this psalm is divided really in two parts. You see the first five verses are really the people speaking to the king. And the king is to make the petition to God. The king is seeking leadership from God. And then verses 6 through 9 are the thoughts of the king as he prepares for battle. So as we think about this psalm, we understand that this psalm and the reason that this was sung is that it would give Israel courage in the face of a powerful enemy. As they sang this song and they remembered the past victories, or they remembered what God had done for them and how God was with them in the past, then they knew and they could understand and they could believe that God would be with them in the future. So it was to build them up and to give them courage. As I studied this message, I thought about, think what it must have been like when Hezekiah was being attacked by Sennacherib. And you remember when Sennacherib had his men go and stand on the wall, stand around the wall and had him speak out to the nation of Israel. And the men said, listen, don't listen to Hezekiah. He's going to tell you to trust in him. He's going to tell you to trust in God. But remember, what other people of other lands, which of their gods has protected them? So remember what it must have been like when Hezekiah is facing this army that's approaching and he knows that all the nations surrounding them have been defeated. But here stands Hezekiah as one who trusts in God, as one who believes in God, even those all around him do not believe in God. And here stands Hezekiah and he's going to trust in God. And the enemy says, trying to sway his people not to believe him. Think what it must have been like for Hezekiah to sing this psalm. And remember how this psalm had been sung in the past. And to remember who God is and how God was going to work in their lives. And the strength that God would give them. And even though others might trust in chariots and trust in horses, they would continue to trust in God. You see, it would give strength in the day of battle. And of course, what about us? This psalm can be one that's remembered by us also as we think about the battles that we face in life. Maybe we're like Hezekiah and we're the only one that has faith in our family, in our community, at work, in our surroundings. maybe even there's other people who profess religion, but they don't really trust God. And then the question might be, well, why are you trusting God? Why are you being faithful to God? And the battle is pressing in upon you, and it seems like that battle is going to get the best of you. And then you remember verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We're going to trust in God. No matter what the world says, no matter what the world is doing, no matter what the world is trusting in, we're going to continue to trust in the name of our God. So we can think about how this psalm would be utilized to build us up as we faced difficult battles. And then also this psalm can be used as a psalm of thanksgiving. Think about when this psalm was sung, how many might have remembered the times in the past that this psalm was sung. And they remembered the many victories that God had given them and how that God had brought them through. Again, in my daily Bible reading this week, David is praying, and do I go up against them? And God says, go up against them. And then another time he prays, do I go up against them? And God says, no. I might even have this in my notes. I'm a little bit ahead of myself. Yeah, 1 Chronicles chapter number 14. Let's just turn there. I'm ahead of myself, but that's okay. 1 Chronicles chapter number 14 and verses 14 and 15. Verse 13 says, and the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, go not after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. So David can remember maybe the times that God has gone before him and God has delivered him. And David is inquiring of God, and God says, don't go out as you did before, but go over against the mulberry trees and wait till you hear the sound in the top of the mulberry trees and then go out to battle, because God is going to go before you. I mean, you read all of these examples in the Word of God of how God went before Israel and fought the battles. Remember, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. They were often told, and they needed to remember. God never wanted them to depend upon their own strength. God wanted them to depend upon Him. And so when Israel would sing this psalm, they would remember those times when God delivered them in glorious ways, and God delivered them in amazing ways. Remember when the army is coming against them, and remember the lepers that's sitting outside the city, and they said, well, we might as well go into the, I can't remember if it was the Assyrians or who it was, but we might as well go into the camp, because if we go there and they kill us, we're going to die. But if we sit here, we're going to die. So we might as well go in and try to get some food. And when they went there, remember, the enemy was left, and they left all of their tents, they left all of their goods, they left all of their horses, because they had heard of battle. God had sent fear amongst them, and they had left, and God delivered Israel. I mean, there's so many examples of the places where God delivered Israel. Listen, we need to remember, just as Israel did, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we're going to trust in the name of God. Let's never forget that, because even sometimes when you're trusting God and walking by faith, you're not doing the logical thing. You're not doing the thing that makes sense to those that are in the world. You're not doing something that is logical. You're trusting God. And it's always better to trust God than to trust the ways of this world. So this is a psalm of thanksgiving also. When we can remember the victories that the Lord has given us, we can also learn from the victories that God has given Israel and God has given others. I mean, this psalm can be a psalm of thanksgiving when you remember those times of deliverance. So David wrote this psalm as a way for Israel to always remember the source of their strength. I don't think I've read the psalm, so let's read the entire psalm and then we'll get into looking at some of the verses. The Lord hear thee in a day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. I did read it. I'm going to stop right there. The Lord hear thee in a day of trouble. The psalmist writes this recognizing that the day of trouble is going to come. And we always remember that, right? The day of trouble is going to come upon us. For the nation of Israel, they were a people of war throughout their history. And really one of the reasons that they faced so many battles was God wanted them to depend upon Him, to not be full of themselves and depend upon their own strength and their own wisdom and their own ability. I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. They wanted to trust in God. God wanted them to know that they trusted in Him and where the source of their strength was. That's one great thing about having troubles. That's not a very good way to put it, is it? But one of the great things about having troubles is you know in the time of trouble, that's when you're going to get to see God's hand working in your life. The day of trouble is going to come. We're all going to face this trouble. We're all going to face some type of trouble. It may not be a physical battle of the nation going against another nation, but we're all going to face spiritual battles. For our enemies are the rulers of darkness, the principalities and powers, and spiritual darkness. The rulers of spiritual darkness in high places. That's who we're fighting. That's why the God tells you to put on the armor of God. Because you're going to be fighting a battle. The day of trouble is going to come. Understand this. The Lord is going to hear thee in the day of trouble. What a blessing for us to know. The world doesn't know it. Someone who hasn't walked by faith like you have doesn't know it. But the one who has walked by faith, the one that has trusted in God, the one that has believed in God, the one that has submitted to Him and committed to Him, that one knows that in a day of trouble, God is going to hear them and that they can depend upon Him. What a great truth to know. When those in the world face trouble, what do they turn to? Who do they turn to? What do they believe in? Who do you turn to? I turn to God. You turn to God. You trust in Him. The Lord will hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. God is their defense. God is your defense. What a blessing to know. Now, again, as we said, these first five verses are the people as they are talking to God and they're talking to their king and encouraging the king in the day of battle. God, they understood. It's their national mindset, or it should be their national mindset, that the name of God is going to defend thee. And let's remember this. There are times that we need to ask God to defend us so that His name might be exalted. Because, look, God, I'm trusting in You and I'm walking with You and I'm about to go under because of this trial and God, so that Your name would be glorified and people will understand how that they should trust in You. Help me to get the victory here so that Your name can be glorified. So people will recognize, listen, maybe I do need to start trusting God. Maybe I do need to have God as my defense and as my defender so that Your name will be glorified. God, defend me and deliver me from my enemy. And those who are out to defeat me. So the Lord will hear thee in a day of trouble, and the name of the God of Jacob will defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary. Again, God will send help from the sanctuary of heaven. He will give His angels charge over thee. Remember those times when we see angels coming and standing in the day of battle. You can think about many different times, but you can think about the boy. I don't know if it's Elijah or Elisha. I don't have it in my notes, but remember they were afraid. The little servant boy was afraid, and the prophet of God prayed that God would open their eyes so that they could see And that's where the scripture comes in, and he was able to see there's more that be with us than they would be with them. God will send help, just like he told David, there's a wind going to be on the top of the mulberry trees, and then God is going to go before thee. There's ways that God is going to send help unto you to protect you and to help you and to deliver you and to strengthen you in ways that you don't understand. And he is going to send help from his sanctuary. What a blessed thing for the nation of Israel to know that they were the people of God and that God was going to send help for them from his sanctuary. And what a truth for us to know that we are the people of God. We are his people. We are his sheep and the people of his pasture. He loves us. He calls us friends. And since he calls us friends, he's going to protect us and give us help in a day of trouble. What a blessed truth for us to know. Remember and strengthen thee out of Zion. My help cometh from the Lord. God will strengthen the nation of Israel in the day of battle. God will strengthen you the day of battle. Never forget who you are to God. You are his people. You are his child. We are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know this: when we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Never forget who we are. God will strengthen you. Even in those times when maybe you feel weary and well-doing, maybe in those times when you feel too weak for the task, God will strengthen you. Even in those times when you feel like you're not called for the task is too great for you, God will strengthen you. Contemplate. My help comes from the Lord. Remember the burnt offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Again, this is making reference to the fact that the offering was to be made, the burnt sacrifice was to be made before the armies went out into battle. So what the people are saying is, remember God, we have been faithful to you. Remember God, we have been faithful to your word. Remember God, we have performed that which it is our duty to do. So remember, God, you're not talking about one that's walking in rebellion. You're not talking about a disobedient child. Lord, you're talking about one that is faithful, that is striving to serve you and to be the best. We as a people are doing our best as a nation to follow you. God, remember what we have done. We have performed the sacrifices that we should. And maybe you can say the same. God, I'm facing this trial. I'm facing this difficulty. And Lord, I've been faithful to you. I've made the sacrifice of praise. I've given. I've served. Remember that, God. And help me in the day of trouble. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. There comes a time when we need to depend upon the counsel of God. You know, so many times we listen to what's going on in the world and we listen to the world's philosophies and we listen to the world's ideas and we walk in them and we depend upon them. We would be so much better if we always listened to the counsel of God. It is a great faith which will totally depend upon God, that will depend upon his word and walk by faith. We will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God. God, we're going into battle. We're going to rejoice in the salvation that you've given us. We're going to rejoice in your name, and we will set up our banners. That word banner there, well, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. That word banners there, it is the word that means the standard barrier. You remember in the days of battle, and maybe you see some of these ancient armies, and they would have a man carrying a flag, and it would be a banner that would stand up, and it would have some writing, some markings on it, whatever. That was their banner. That was their standard. That was the rallying point for the people. And And that would, they all fought so that the banner would not fall. Because that banner was the name of their God. We will set up our banners, God. We will set up our dependence upon you. God, we will set up and defend your name. We will, that banner will be our rallying point, and we will not let your banner fall. And we're going to exalt you, God, and stand up for your rights and your purpose and for your people. And that's what we need to do. Our rallying point needs to be the name of our God, and we need to rejoice in His salvation. We need to rally around His name and defend His name and stand up for His name and stand up for what is right and not allow His name to fall in the streets, not allow truth to fall in the streets. We need to defend the name of God. And that's what Israel is saying that they will do so that God can fulfill all of His petitions. Now we get into the place of the king, the king's part in this prayer, this preparation, this preamble for war. And the king comes and says, Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed, His people, His chosen people. The Lord will deliver His chosen people. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. The king knows the Lord saves. And notice that is the Lord saveth His anointed. That means that's in the past tense. Talking about the past. The king looks back and he looks at past battles and he sees, I know that God delivered in the past. But really that's in the present perfect tense, which means that not only has He saved in the past, but He's saving now. And not only is He saving now, but I know that if we're going to be delivered in the future, it's the Lord who's going to do that. The Lord saveth. The Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. The king understands the Lord will hear. Now understand this. Are you the Lord's anointed? Are you one that He has chosen from before the foundation of the world? Then recognize this. He has saved you in the past. He is saving you now. And He's going to deliver you in the future. He is worthy to be trusted. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be depended upon. He is going to hear your prayer. And then I want you to understand something about this. When God hears, it's not just that He hears, but He takes action. Remember, the book of James talks about the one that hears the word of God only. Faith without works is dead, being alone. The one who hears the word of faith and says they have faith, but then their faith is not active, that faith is dead. The one who has true faith is the one who hears the word of God and then puts faith in action and walks by faith. Well, I want you to notice here when they're talking about God, when God saving them and delivering them, and He hears from heaven, He doesn't just hear, but then He sends His saving strength with His right hand. God is the God of action who actively works in the nation of Israel and actively works in your life. He's actively saving you right now. He's actively working in your circumstances. You know, one of the amazing things to me is that in my life, as I'm facing life and I'm facing difficulties and I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do here and what am I going to do there and how am I going to handle this and how am I going to handle that, this summer has been full of a few of those things. What am I going to do? And then to sit back and stop and think that God is at work in those situations. And He's working something that I can't imagine and I can't believe. And listen, His wisdom is far better than any wisdom that I can imagine. And so I'm trying to figure it all out. And, you know, when I think I got it figured all out, the one thing I figure out is I ain't got nothing figured out. And then I just sit back and know that God's at work in these situations. You see, God was at work in the battles that Israel was going to face. God already had the game plan figured out. Before the king even knew that there was a battle about to take place, God already had the victory in hand. He already had the plan. He already knew how he was going to deliver Israel, even before the king knew there was an enemy on their way. And whatever trouble you're facing in life right now, God knows how he's going to deliver you. Deliverance doesn't come in a day. Deliverance doesn't come in a year. Deliverance may not come in 5 years. But deliverance is going to come. Just remember that. God is doing something greater in your life than you can ever imagine. His purposes are far greater than our little minds can comprehend. So understand, the Lord hears. He's already put the plans in action, and he saves with his right hand. And of course, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord. The king remembers, as he's preparing for battle, that his help is from the Lord. So much every day of our lives, we should remember that. That our help is from the Lord. Now, verses 8 and 9 are the triumphant expectation. The king expects victory. Notice what he says about the enemy. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. The expectation in the day of battle was victory. What is your expectation as you're facing the troubles and trials of life? Are you expecting victory? The king did. They are brought down. The enemies that were approaching, they're brought down, but we are risen. We stand upright. It is such a blessing to expect victory. Save, Lord. Some say that passage there as God save the king. The king speaking, God save the king. Let the king hear us when we call. The enemy's brought down, but we are blessed, but we are risen. And it is a blessing to know that God saves the king. And the king hears when we call. What a blessing to know. I mean, we may not rest easy tonight, but at least we know God hears us. We may be troubled on every side. We may be distressed. We may be perplexed, but we're not defeated because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords hears us, and we can trust in Him. This is the pre-war prayer. Pre-war song to give confidence to the people and to give confidence to the king. We can learn from this as we prepare to face battles in life that we can be strengthened to know from whence cometh our help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, God, we are thankful for this opportunity we have to be here and to learn from your word and the direction that you give us in your word. We pray, God, that you'll encourage your people tonight with this message. Encourage us as we go forward, knowing that our help cometh from you and we can trust in you and have the expectation of victory. So we pray that you'll bless your people tonight and this week in their lives. Thank you for Jesus who makes it all possible. It is in his name we pray. Amen.